form. And people who walk by faith ought to be the kind of people that can celebrate God for the seed before there is ever a manifestation of the full tree. Are you still here with me? It is the idea of the inauguration of something being fully in a reality. I'm fully in what it is God's promised me, yet there is more to come. Let me see if I can put it this way. It's when what is now being experienced will be released over time, but as it is released over time, it will be released in increasing measure. Now, we celebrate God not because he's released everything to our hand that is on the way, but we celebrate God because he has set into motion what will eventually be. And the God that has begun a great work is the God that will complete it. Now, we employ faith while we're living in tents, but we've seen enough in the past to know that when we see God's fingerprint on something, it means that he will ultimately, through faithfulness, reveal to us or release to us what he has on the way as we faithfully work it out. Are you still here with me? It's when God says, I have it for you, but I'm going to release it incrementally over time. Say, I have it. But it's being released. I know it's a paradox. Jesus says the kingdom of God is coming, but it now is. God says your full blessing is coming, but here's what messes you up, but it now is. Now, I know I'm too abstract, ambiguous, and normally I would labor through this, but because I'm trying to get you to brunch, let me see if I could put it another way. If I could use a practical illustration, you've ever heard of a time release capsule? A time release capsule is significant in that your doctor gives you a dose of something you need. But he knows, or she knows, if they give you the full dose all at once, what was meant to be helpful and to heal you can be harmful to your body, and your body will end up rejecting it because the dose that they want to give you is too potent for it to be absorbed all at once. So they put it in a time release capsule. You swallow the capsule, you have the capsule, the full capsule is in your system. Yet while the full capsule is in your system, the effect of the capsule takes time to be worked out and for it to fully be released. Are you still here with me? When I think about God and this paradox, God gives me everything I need, but he takes his time in unraveling what I need, the manifestation of what I need, because if he gave me everything I was waiting for all at once, the weight of the blessing would crush me. But what he does is gives me the promise and says it's yours. He allows my foot to be standing in the whole land that he's going to give me, but he says I'm going to give it to you little by little. But you ought to be able to praise God that he's already released to you what is on the way. I don't have to wait for the full release of it to come to me before I celebrate God for his goodness and kindness. As a matter of fact, let me see how many faith folks I have walking with me. I want to take this slower, but I'm almost to brunch right now. But if I had some faith folks walking with me, I could tell by how you're able to praise God at this moment. There are some that are not even here until we move into our next building. There are some that are not going to celebrate God until there is a ribbon cutting ceremony, but I need some faith walkers who know that if God allowed us to cross the Red Sea, if he allowed us to cross the Jordan and step foot onto the other side, and he didn't bring us to here to leave us camped in Gilgal, he brought us to the other side to give somebody a high five and tell them it is coming. But it now is. But the challenge with the way that God chooses to release it is that God chooses to release it over time and with present challenges. Say challenges. Say time. Time, time. He takes his time. there are times where I wish God would instantaneously release to me everything that he has for me. But God sometimes will drag God's feet. Becky, I wish that the moment we put the place on the market, I think that my patient span, your patient span was probably a solid 6 months. We were high-fived each other in church and said things like, won't he do it? But what do you do when God doesn't do what you want him to do when you want him to do it? What do you do when God takes God's time? When God paces God's steps? When God moves slower than you expect God to move? Now, I know some of you are real spiritual, and that doesn't bother you. But it bothers me from time to time when God takes God's time. Because God knows what God wants to do. The challenge is, I don't know always what God wants to do. And I know you're real deep. You always know what God wants to do. But there are some of us that still know in part and prophesy in part, which means we get bits and pieces of the picture that we've got to begin to pull the Blues Clues together to try to figure out. Anybody here still human? And so when God takes God's time, often it causes frustration. Can I tell you what happens when God takes God's time? When God takes God's time, there is fatigue that sets in. When God takes God's time, our heart can become weary. And I'm glad that the Bible had humans that were interacting with God and began to articulate this through the human experience. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Has anybody's heart been made sick? I mean, you started off real joyful, like God's gonna do it. But at times, I'm still holding on. You don't say it to others, but well, whatever he wants to do then. Because when God takes God's time to release to you what is being promised, fatigue sets in and often disappointment sets in and your heart can become sick. But here is the second thing that frustrates me about this time release capsule, that God gives me what he's promised. He brings me into the place that is promised. But while he brings me into the place that is promised, he does not bring me into the full reality or the full scope of what he has for me instantaneously. The challenge is not only that sometimes God will take his time. The second part of the challenge is that there is a tension between the blessing and battle for the full promise of God to be realized. What do I mean? God promises them, I have a promise for you. I'm bringing you into a land that's flowing with milk and honey. They go through this journey, cross over the Jordan, get to the other side, camp out, have to live in tents. There's no milk, no honey, no cookies, no welcome committee. No greeters, but there are giants in the land saying, I wish you would come in here, saying that this is your land. Can I tell you that when God releases things to you, here's why most people lose heart. And they do not make it through the time that you're called to temporarily dwell through tents or dwell in tents. And while you think this is for this church, please understand there's a corporate reality, but there are those of you in this place that right now in your life are dwelling in tents. God has promised you some things, and when you look at your reality does not match God's promise. So you feel stuck dwelling in a tent. It doesn't look like what God said you would have. But you've got to know again that whether you fully realized all that God has for you or whether you're just on the edge of all that God has for you, it is still a promise that is yours. You're dwelling in a tent. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm dwelling in a tent. I'm dwelling in a tent. The promised land is not blissful, but anything worth having in this life is already occupied by some giants. New places always have giants. If you can walk into it with ease and they hand you the keys, if you can walk into it with ease, the door just flies open and everything falls into line without critics or criticism, that's probably not the God door. If you walk into it without opposition and from time to time having sleepless nights, that's probably not the God door. I know that when Christians see you, you ask them how they're doing, blessed and highly favored. But the truth of the matter is, when you are walking through God doors, there are some times where there is more doubt than there is faith. But you have to keep on walking. When it's a God door, there is always opposition saying that you will not pass by this way. Sometimes the opposition is external. Sometimes the opposition is your circle. Folks telling you it's not gonna work. It cannot happen. No one in our family has ever done this before. But you've got to look at them and say, listen, God delights in doing what has never been done before. Sometimes the challenge is not external. Sometimes the challenge is not your circle. Sometimes the challenge is within. You believe in other people, but have a challenge believing in yourself. And your giant is overcoming your small, pessimistic mindset. And you have to, at that moment, put on the mind of Christ that says, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Give somebody a high five. Tell them there's giants in the land. But I expected giants, because if there are no giants, it means that this is not the God-sized opportunity, because the enemy camps out wherever God is ordering your steps. So I expect giants in my path. But please understand, I need to know that as I move into my promised land, it is filled with both blessing and challenge. And the accurate snapshot of life is the tension between holding your blessing and holding the promise of God, while at the same time holding in tandem the reality of battle. Look at your neighbor, tell them, battle. Yes, I'm blessed, but please understand that my blessing is not received absent of battle. I declare that I'm blessed because I'm standing in the place that God ordained me to stand. I declare that I'm blessed because I've crossed over the first adversity and I am in the destined place. I know there's still giants in the land, but before we go to battle, I've got to take a moment to thank God that I'm blessed, not because I don't have challenges, not because I don't have opposition, not because there are not more obstacles to overcome. No, I declare I'm blessed simply because I'm standing in the place of my promise. I don't take this for granted. You think I'm crazy, but my feet are standing in the place that I saw years ago. We met here over 8 years ago, and it blew up, but then it shrunk all the way down. I met with one of my mentors in discouragement because we had to leave here and go back to 1535 Gundry. Before I left him, he said, it's a good idea that you leave for fiscal reasons. He says, but here's what I want you to know. You are not losing ground because you've left this place and had to go back to 1535 Gundry. He said, I feel that this is like the spies who went to go look at the promised land. This was 8 years ago. He said, God just allowed you to see the place where you would come back again. As I left his office, Bishop Kenneth Omer looked at me. He said, oh, you'll be back. Yeah. And guess what? Your boy is back. Guess what? Antioch is back. I'm not just using vain illustration, but as I stand here and I'm waiting for God to release what's next, I know I'm... I'm standing in the place of my promise. I'm in the ears waiting on the not yet. But before I get to the not yet, I've got to praise God for the ears. Give somebody high five and tell them, I don't have everything that's on the way, but I praise God for where I am right now. I praise God. I may not be in the house I want to be in, but I praise God. I close escrow on this one. I may not have the relationship that I dreamed of, but I praise God that it's on the way. I may not have the promotion that I saw in my dream, but I thank God I got hired on the job. Is there anybody that can praise God for the ears? As you're waiting for the will be, God, I thank you for the. Give people a high five, so I'm praising him for the ears. Praise him. Praise him for the ears. Because in this life, you have to walk in the tension of blessing, but also challenge. My blessing is that a property sold. My blessing is that we moved. My blessing is that there's fresh excitement. My blessing is that there are dreams on the horizon. My blessing is that I'm in my right mind. My blessing is that my family's fed. My blessing is that I have a roof over my head. My blessing is that I have clothes on my back. Well, I gotta praise God for my blessing. I don't wait for my battle to be over, but I praise God with blessing and battle. The battle is that while I'm announcing a new building, I lost my stepfather. The battle is that while we're celebrating a press release, there are haters that have started a preemptive attack. My battle is that there are still demons to slay and mountains to overcome. But I don't wait until the battle is over. But even in the tension of battle and blessing, I can lift up my voice, lift up my hands, lift up my eyes to the hills from which cometh my help. All my help. What? All my help comes from the Lord. If you don't know it, let me give you his resume. The Lord that made the heaven and earth. The Lord that spoke everything out of nothing. The Lord that was a wheel in the middle of a wheel. The Lord that opened blinded eyes. The Lord that made a way out of no way. The Lord that opened up the heavens and poured out blessing that I wouldn't have room enough to receive. But why is it, God, you let me go through a challenge? Because God says, I have a resume, but I need to give you a resume. I could take you right into the blessing, but the reason I let you go through the challenge is so that I could be glorified, but that you can have a resume. You ought to be able to look back over your life and say, it didn't look like I was going to make it, but God made a way. I didn't have enough resource, but here I am. I thought I was going to lose my mind when I lost my friends, but God gave me an Antoine Fisher anointing. I'm still standing. I'm still strong. I'm still here. Give somebody a high five and tell them God takes his time and allows you to go through challenge and battle so that he can build up your resume. He takes shepherd boys and makes them giant slayers. He takes Hebrew boys and makes them lion whisperers. He takes three Hebrew boys and makes them fire walkers. He takes a man born of a virgin who was sinless, wrapped up in flesh. He allows him to be crucified to save mankind, and he allows him to be raised in the newness of life. Look at your neighbor, tell him, God's not killing you. He's building your resume. That's why he doesn't just bring you into the battle, but he holds you in the fight. I'm done. But here's the good news. If you keep fighting, if you don't become weary in well-doing, there comes a day where the blessing will overshadow the battle. I'm still in the fight. I'm still in the storm. I'm still in the ring. But I have a promise from God. Even if I have to go 12 rounds, I win in the name of Jesus. I declare right now that you prophesy over somebody. You don't have to tell them it for too long, but just lay hands on somebody. Prophesy to three people and tell them you win. You win. You win. You win. But the battle's not over yet. You win. I'm still struggling, but you win. They're still lying on me, but you win. There's more with them. No, there's more with you than there is against you. Open up our eyes that we may see the salvation of the Lord. Declare to somebody that you win. How do I know? Because I already have a resume. I have to thank God for every mountain he's brought me over. For every valley he's seen me through. For every blessing, I've got to declare hallelujah. And because of this, I give you praise. Not because I have it, but because I have a resume. I can thank God for what he is and celebrate what will be. Somebody lift up your voice even before the battle and shout the war cry. In fact, shout the victory cry. Hallelujah. 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 Tell somebody, tell them you win. You win. Tell them, fret not. Fret not. You are not where you're going. But tell Miss Tent, the tent's temporary. Yeah, yeah. You may not need it, but there's somebody standing next to you. They look good, but there's somebody standing next to you that is in the battle for their life. Now, for somebody, this is not a turn to your neighbor. For somebody, this is a lifeline. I need you to look at somebody in both eyes. Tell them, I don't care what the battle is. Tell them, you win. You win. You win. I don't know how many rounds you have to go through, but tell them, you win. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. There are more with you than there are against you. You win. Start walking like it. I wonder if there's anybody in this place that knows how to walk out of a tent like you just stepped out of a mansion. Is there anybody who knows how to walk out of a temporary circumstance like it's already settled, like it's already yours? Tell somebody, get your swag back. Tell somebody, get your confidence back. Tell somebody, I came out of a tent, but I came out dripping. I'm dripping. I'm dripping oil. I'm dripping anointing. I'm dripping the grace. My enemies think it's over. But when I am weak, that's when God does his best work. That's when God does God's best work. word of the Lord to somebody in this place. Bible in Deuteronomy says of the children of Israel who go to inherit the land, he said, I will not drive them out from before you overnight, lest the beast of the field come in, he says, to overtake you. He says, but I will drive them out. I will make progress little by little. Here's what he was saying. He was saying, Israel, you're big, but you're not big enough. He says, if I eradicate all of your problems all at once, you'll go into the land, but you're not numerous enough to populate or to fill in the blessing that I have for you. And it'll be a short-lived blessing because it is the incremental growth and the incremental battle. As you're doing, you're driving out those who oppose you. You also are repopulating and becoming more numerous so that as the challenge is being removed, you are also being strengthened so that when I bring you into the land, you will fully populate it. For somebody, God's word to you is, don't assume that God is not bringing you into the promise because it has not come yet. Because it takes too much time. Can I tell you, instantaneous blessing atrophies your spiritual fortitude. But there's something about the wrestling. There's something about overcoming the opposition. There's something about looking above the criticism. There's something about taking on the challenges that allows you to be strengthened so that once you stand in the place that God has given you, you don't have to go anywhere, but you're fortified for what it is he's called you to. We're done. I went over. I told a white lie to a congregation. Most weeks we'll have you out of here by 11:15, but this week there was a mandate on my heart to speak to somebody in this place. You found yourself right there. I'm not here to embarrass you with the microphone in front of your face, but if that's you, you say, I've grown fatigued, Pastor, of the battle of waiting on the promise of the Lord. I've been in that tension you talked about between blessing and battle, between opportunity and challenge, and it has worn me down. If you're here, that's you. Don't be ashamed, don't be embarrassed, but there is a grace in this place today. As you begin to step and make your way this way, God's going to begin to renew your strength. I declare that you shall not be weary in well-doing. But listen to me. Hang in there. Hang in there. Hang in there. And you will receive a harvest if you faint not. I hear the Lord saying, they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not faint. Come on, if that's you, make your way. Make your way quickly. 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 Don't leave yet. Don't leave. If that's you, make your way. Make your way quickly. Make your way. Make your way. Make your way. Make your way quickly. Make your way. Make your way quickly. Come on, come on. Don't be ashamed. Let's go. Come on. Come on. If the call was made, I would be right there with you. Nobody be ashamed to respond to that call. If this call was made, I would be right there with you. And in fact, as I pray the blessing of the Lord, according to rabbinic tradition and teaching, as the priest would pray for the people, my question was always, well, who prays for the priest? But according to rabbinic tradition, as the people were blessed, the priest simply acted as a human, imparting as an extension of the living God, blessing that was not only given to the people, but also given to the one that was speaking the blessing. So I'm only a figurehead that is an outstretched arm, a physical arm representing an invisible outstretched arm to heal, to deliver, to bless. But as I pray blessing, I'm also one that stands in need of blessing. But here's what God's going to do. I believe with all my heart that as we posture ourselves to receive, God is going to begin to lift the load. Somebody came in here with an unbearable load. There's somebody in this place, and I don't know who you are. You came in this place with suicidal thoughts. You came in here as a last resort. But the load has been so heavy, you wanted to end it all. God says what you thought would be your last day is your meeting with destiny. God says from this day, the trajectory of your life will change. This will be a testimony. This will be a testimony of a day of hope and of healing. The day that marks new beginnings. So lift your hands in this place. And so God, we posture ourselves in a position to receive. We know that you're real. We've seen you move so many times. You're the God we've witnessed in a documented manner. Supernatural healing, deliverance, transformation. There are living witnesses in this place with a resume. And here's what we ask. We ask that you simply do it one more time. I pray that you lift the load for my brother, for my sister. I pray now, God, that you begin to give an internal fortitude, an internal resilience. I pray for victory to rise up. I pray for victory to emerge in the heart of your children. No matter the odds, I pray for victory. I pray for healing. I pray for deliverance. I pray for strength. I pray for expectation. I pray that faith would arise from the innermost beings. I pray as Elijah prayed that you would open up their eyes, and in so doing, they would see that there are more with them than there is against them. Now, God, we thank you for your goodness, your kindness, and tender mercy, and we release it over your people. Lord, we declare that you will keep your people. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. Be gracious to you is our prayer. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we believe this to be done. And all those who agree with the prayer and believe that God will do exceedingly and abundantly more than we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. Let me hear you say.